Thank you, sir. Good afternoon to all. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors for this talk, Dr. Sam Coleman and Dr. Bob Hubert. In any water quality assessment, there is always a talk about eutrophication, wherever we are, even in the US or in the world. And the cow-calf operation or cow-calf production is not exempted from being one of the culprits of this eutrophication business. And we always hear this, the sporage-based livestock system have been or will be implicated as a major contributor to the deterioration of water quality. And that whole business is, as a whole, is governed by the eutrophication business. So you have the grazing in an open pasture, either the surface or in groundwater environment. Oh, I'm pressing the wrong.
Use the down arrow. There you
go. Okay. And this is how the public perceive grazing animals, why it is becoming a problem in terms of environmental water quality issue. The grazing animals have a dominant effect on the movement and utilization of nutrients through the soil, plants, and water system. It can accelerate and alter the timing of nutrient transfer within the outside a given landscape or watershed because of the moving grazing activities by the animals. And this may result to an increase in the amount of nutrients within a particular agroecosystem, maybe within or outside the pasture-based agroecosystem. And to put a little bit spin on this, if nutrients are added more than the nutritional needs of crops, say in any given pasture, it will build up these nutrients in the soil, thus creating high risk for runoff and water contamination. And this here is a key word here, nutrient balance. You know, if you maintain a balance of nutrients, that is what is being removed or added in the pasture, it may assure a healthy growth and as well as control of nutrient in the runoff. And what can we do about maintaining a nutrient balance? We may do it in an economical, sound, socially acceptable, or in an environmentally friendly manner. So this talk would somehow touch base on this input-output approach that we're working on in Florida pasture areas, where we look into different compartments of these nutrients being distributed within the watershed or in the landscape. The hypothesis here on this is the properly managed cow-calf operation in subtropical agroecosystem would not be a major contributor to excess loads of phosphorus in surface and groundwater. That is our working hypothesis at the beginning of this research. Although a lot of these regulatory agencies in Florida or in the region, they always blame the forage-based as one of the culprits of the contributing factor to the deterioration of water quality. In order to ascertain our hypothesis, we examine the comparative concentration of phosphorus among soils, forage, surface water, and groundwater beneath a Bahia grass-based pasture with cow-calf operations in central Florida, having a long-term goal of establishing a comprehensive input-output analysis of nutrients within a pasture landscape. And just to give you the overview of where this research was undertaken, it's a part of the Subtropical Agricultural Research Station in Brooksville, totaling 1,558 hectares. We have three units in the substation, and this is where this particular study was undertaken. And it's located in this in Florida in this type of region. This is the landscape pictures of the pasture. We have a typical open pasture area, and then this is a very unique situation where we have this, as I call it, seepage area, but actually it was a sinkhole over the years that was developed in the middle of the pasture. So we use that as, you know, as sort of a seepage area where water tends to being received during a runoff event. And this is how we install the shallow wells. This is Dr. Hubert here helping us to put the shallow groundwater wells. And this is the overall feature where the wells were installed in the landscape. You have a slope direction from top to bottom. And this is where your seepage area is. And this is the location of the groundwater monitoring wells, along with the soil sampling location near its well, and also the planting sites. And this is where the ground monitoring wells, and this is the slope directions. This is the current look of the landscape taken in 2009, where you have this fixed congregation site at the top of the landscape, and you have a healthy growing crops here, a pasture. And of course, these wells to this, carp, they think this is a toy to play with. So that's one of the hardship of keeping this kind of experiment in the landscape. And also, notice this creature here. We have a gator in our pasture. I'm not a gator fan. So, but this is a very noticeable, I was surprised when I was doing the well measurement, we noticed that gator is, striving the area. We do monitor the groundwater and surface water in a bi-weekly basis. We started this monitoring in 2004 and is still continuing to the up to date. We have wells located at top, middle, and bottom slope, and also from the seepage area. This is the seepage area that I told you, which is a sinkhole at the beginning, and this is sort of our control, so we can monitor the amount of nutrients going into the seepage area and as a runoff, basically. We also monitor the dry matter yield and also the phosphorus uptake. And we use the drop height tool measurement to measure the dry matter production using this technique of taking the dry weight here, the press weight, and just oven dry it, so you have an area measurement. And we have several spots within this setting. We do samples them from the top, middle, and bottom slope, so we can actually put this in the complete mix on how the landscape topography would affect the nutrient concentration of phosphorus in the landscape. We do sample the area too across the pasture slope, top slope, middle slope, and bottom slope. And this talk will only cover data from 2004 to 2006 using this sinker, the hydraulic sinker here, near its wells. So we can actually do a side-by-side comparison of what is in the soil and what is in our groundwater at that point of sampling. We do sample also the congregation sites. In our pasture, we have fixed congregation sites. We have the water troughs, the mineral feeders, and shades. Those are the three major congregation sites that we normally see at the top of the slope. So later on, when I present to you the result, you can actually relate the differences in the concentration of phosphorus between the top slope and the bottom slope. That's because of the presence of these congregation sites. We do a composite soil sampling, two depths, 0 to 20 and 20 to 40 centimeters, and we do have this 90-degree sampling scheme, like shown here, and its sampling site is separated by a certain distance away from the center. So you have north to south, east to west, so you can do a spatial variability analysis on that hot spot. The experimental unit is a paired products. 10 hectares pasture, bahia grass pasture. We do have the different fertilization and grazing management there, application of nitrogen and of phosphorus and potassium. This is a normal pasture management in our location. And we also monitor the amount of manures being deposited on its on that particular site. And these are the data that we have in terms of total manure and total phosphorus excreted from the animals during that rotation. We also keep a 3.5 cow calf pair per hectare as our stocking rate. This is normal pasture management in the area. We do monitor the temporal effect of this pasture management for 3 years. We also look at the landscape effect, and we also look at the soil depth effect as one of our treatment effects. And we do have the proc mix, which is the repeated measure in the site. This is the result of our distribution of phosphorus within the congregation site. So we have a distance away from the center of the congregation site and the total phosphorus. And we observed that the closer, you know, the closest distance that we sampled near the center of the congregation site had the highest concentration of phosphorus. Though it has the highest concentration, it's still below the threshold of affecting any significant deteriorating effect of phosphorus in the environment. 50 parts per million of phosphorus in the shades and also in mineral feeders. And this is the regression line that would define the estimation of the influence of distance away from the center in terms of total phosphorus distribution. So we do have this relationship there. To give you a snapshot of the groundwater fluctuation in the area, in each of the wells that we monitored, we have the top slope. We barely have any significant spike, except for this dating here on 2004. The middle slope, we have a very, you know, at least a good distribution of fluctuations here. And the bottom slope, which is the bottom, we have this distribution here. This peak here is 2 days before Hurricane Francis visited Florida. That was in 2004, September. And also this, another spike here is 1 day after another hurricane in 2004. So basically the hurricane season really affect the fluctuation of our groundwater. And this is just an overlay to show you the temporal variability of the groundwater fluctuation of our groundwater wells there, and they're all affected by the coming of the hurricane and the day after the present of the hurricane. So you have actually a situation where on the bottom slope almost reaches the surface. Nothing else reaches the surface of the pasture. Looking at the total phosphorus distribution among the slope in the pasture, the top slope well has the highest concentration of total phosphorus. As I have said earlier, this is where your congregation sites are located mostly. We have the feeders, we have the mineral feeders, we have the water troughs and the shades locating at the top slope. So somehow, we can relate the significant differences here in terms of those activities related to the presence of these congregation sites where animals do congregate during, hot weather, where they congregate in the shades, we are located in the top slope. Whereas in the middle slope, bottom slope, and the seep area, we don't observe any significant differences in terms of total phosphorus. So I would say that the runoff effect is not very significant here, because we don't observe any significant spike of phosphorus in the surface runoff as shown by the seep area data. Just to give you some summary statistics on the, these are showing the median of the shallow groundwater, not much difference. And this is the distribution of herbage mass and the phosphorus uptake, the only thing I can say here is this is where I told you that the top slope where you have the highest herbage mass and also the highest phosphorus uptake, and the bottom slope do have the lowest herbage mass and phosphorus uptake. It has something to do with the animal behavior. The cattle tends to graze more on the bottom slope more than going to the top slope. And this is the total phosphorus that we observe here. We didn't see much differences in the top slope and the middle slope. Top slope is still the highest concentration of phosphorus. And this is the summary of the input-output analysis that we did on this three-year study. We have the input components, fertilizer that we applied there, 10 kilograms of P. Then we have the animal excreta, then the atmospheric deposition. We also measure the output components in terms of herbage uptake and the animal ingestion. Animal ingestion is still, we are not very sure about this because it is a function of breed and in terms of the body weight. Anyway, the annual net soil gain in our pasture is about 2.6 kilograms of phosphorus per hectare per year. So, in conclusion, the current pasture management involving cattle rotation fertilization offer little potential for impacting the environment negatively. And then our results support our hypothesis that cow calf operations would not contribute excess loads of phosphorus. Therefore, we can just relate it to the regulatory agency that, as per your perception, the cow calf operation, the beef cattle operation is not, as you think, contributing a whole lot of detrimental effect in the environment in terms of phosphorus loading.
Thank you, Gilbert.
I think this is, I don't know if I have time.
Yeah, you're done.
Okay, thank you.
Let's give Gilbert a round of applause.